Brethren, good afternoon. And I'd like to take you to a text this afternoon, which I think provides for us the very essence of our lives as Christians, both individually and collectively as a church. The book of Ephesians, you know that one of the things the book does is to bring the sense of our community life together, the sense of our life together in Christ, the sense of our oneness in Christ. In fact, in chapter 2, the latter part of chapter 2, that is what we are brought to actually fully see when he says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." Now, the text that we have shows where this comes from, more or less, if you want, the mechanics of it. And the mechanics of it, the work of God in us, what God's power does. And when you're in the book of Ephesians, in the beginning, you do see that we are all sinners and that God's power acts upon us to bring us to obedience to God. And we see that God does indeed work the work of salvation, and that this work of salvation is the work of God himself alone. It's not that we do anything, but rather that God is the one who saves us. And by the time we get to chapter 2, that he saves us by grace. And all the time, God working in us in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus to produce what we will be suitable for our service, and also for to God, and also for service to one another. And this also accomplished even in marriage, to the extent that even when he talks about marriage in chapter 5, he is still able to show that all this shows the relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ to the church. And therefore, our works are not the things that we present for the aspect of judgment, rather that our works are the aspects of the result of what God is doing through us. And therefore, our faith is sincere, and the proof of the sincerity of our faith is the fact that God is working in us, and that God all the while is, as you would see later in the Bible, that is moving us from one degree of glory to another. And that all the while is because of what God himself is doing. And so I lead you to our text, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we may walk in them." And I want you to notice that all this is where the Apostle Paul is speaking about our faith, and is speaking about grace, and that grace is through faith, and that faith is because of God's grace upon us. So by grace you have been saved, and we have been saved by grace. But he immediately always brings up the aspect of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. "By grace you've been saved, and raise us up with him." It's because he says we have been made alive by or through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, but made alive together with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come to this text, we do see the declaration of confidence that we have. And that's what I want us to see in the first place. The declaration of confidence that we have there where he says, for we are his workmanship. And that language there, you do notice how confident the Apostle Paul is, and how he makes this as a declaration of fact. We are God's workmanship. And we are on the basis of what he has said before this. He talks more about what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all these things, in bring us to sit together with him in the heavenly places, he would come and therefore declare, we are, and you notice where the Apostle Paul is coming from. And I want you to notice this, where this declaration of fact is coming from. I want you to note, first of all, that he says in chapter 14 about the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of his, to the praise of his glory. And as he goes on in chapter 2, he comes to show that entirely this is the work of God, and that it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That previously we were dead in trespasses and sins. It's a fact that we all have, and a testimony that we all declare, that previously we were far away from grace. We were born with a nature that makes us be far away from God himself. And now we are all amazed. It is a wonder that God takes us dead in our trespasses, and he loves us even while we were yet sinners, because of his great love for us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, the Apostle Paul would say. He would do a work, and that work he would do in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to God not because we come. We come to God because he draws us to himself. It is the work of grace. We come and experience God's riches at Christ's expense. And when that happens, it is ending everything, having given nothing for that which we end. And also, it's ending everything when we deserve utterly nothing from God. So, trace how this thing comes to us, how this declaration of fact comes to us. Let me take it to you slowly. In verse 1 through to verse 4, it's really the fact that God has loved us, and it is his grace that therefore brings us. When it comes to verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of grace, and because of that great love with which he loved us. And now notice, friends, even when we were dead in our trespasses, our whole nature of life was a dead life. But come to verse 6 and 7, he raises us up, and makes us seated with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he elevates us to a very high place. But doesn't end there. Verse 8 through to verse 10, he secures us in him. And by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, to the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. And Do you see the security there in the fact that, you see, because we do not have to end this by work, it is through faith, it is therefore quite secure because it is the work of God. And therefore, we are God's workmanship. Right at the start of our Christian life, we are his workmanship. The very entrance of our life, the very entrance of our relationship with God, the very entrance of our relationship with one another, is the entrance of the door of the work of God in us. It is God passing us through that which He Himself has done. We are His workmanship. And we can declare that with great confidence. And notice the language of the Apostle Paul here. He is actually doing it with confidence. When he says "for," that's a connection word for the things that he has said. And also it is a word that gives the reason for all these things. And also it's a word that shows why it is so. We are His workmanship. Now friends, we need to understand therefore what he means by this word, his workmanship. And it is very important for us to understand. And the word workmanship and the way it is used in this text has only been used twice in the New Testament, in this sense where it is used. It was used in by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. If you may turn with me there, you will notice that there the root of the word is the same, but there he talks about things that have been made. And I want you to notice it in Romans in chapter 1 and verse 20. It will help us to understand what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says we are his workmanship. He says this, Romans chapter 1, I'll read from verse 18, but I'm interested in verse 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. In the things that have been made is a word in the original tongues that have the same root as workmanship. And basically saying, previously we were indeed children of unrighteousness, but now God, by his power and by the things that he has done in the creation of these things and in things that have been made, he has indeed revealed himself through his work of creation. And the sense, therefore, is about this aspect of work that God has done. And it's the same root. You may not see it clearly, but it's the same root of the word workmanship that he brings out in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. The aspect of the created world and being created in the power of God, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And the apostle there is basically saying, in the things that God himself has worked to make. In fact, it is said that the right rendering could have been in the things that he has worked to make. And therefore, the apostle Paul has the same mind when he comes and says, we are the things that he has worked to make. Necessary. So that the root there is the word poema, which is a Greek word, where the English word poem comes from. And therefore, the sense I must immediately say to you is that this text speaks, or this word speaks about that which God is doing to make, or that which God has made. And it has this sense of a work being done. And the text I took you to in Romans chapter 1 verse 20 is really about the works of God. And here we are actually the works of God. Now, we're not very far from the sense of the word that we have come to know as poem or poetry, the English word having drawn from this aspect. It is still maintaining the sense of a nice piece of work. Those who do poetry and those who love to listen to poetry know that, when you have listened to a nice piece of poetry, it just makes you feel good. Because you sense the amount of artistry that has been put in there. And we are indeed the poema of God. We are the poetry of God. We are the poem of God. But actually, that word basically means something made. And so the poets must be told that when they do their nice piece of work, they're just basically doing something, and they make something nice. And therefore, in this aspect, looking at where the word comes from, the Apostle Paul was literally meaning a very nice piece of work, a very good piece of work, but a piece of work that has been done with a lot of effort put in, a lot of thought put in, and the application of everything to produce something. Maybe that's why we have poems, because they are a piece of work done not hurriedly, but people must have spent some time to bring this up. It's like beholding a very beautiful picture that has been painted. Unfortunately, most of us Zambians, we do not appreciate the work of art. But those of you who do, you know that you look at a piece of art and you spend time looking at it and even being amazed at how much work was put in there. I'm showing this because there's something I want to say, but I'll say it in a moment. Let me give you another illustration. The other day I was with my grandchildren, and one of my granddaughters said to me, "Kuku, I can paint." So I said, "Paint." She got a piece of paper and just qualaulaed that piece of paper. And her older brother said, "You don't know how to draw. Bring, let me draw." And this boy painstakingly was trying to draw. And I asked him, "What are you drawing?" He said, "I'm drawing your face." And she went on and showed me. And I looked and I laughed. I said, "My word, I'm very angry." But you see, what God does, and this is what I want to say to you, God takes us who were dead in trespasses and sins, and first thing he does is transforming us. He makes us alive. And having made us alive, he raises us up, lifts us, and makes us seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Literally, us who were not a people, we become God's own treasured possession. And he draws this picture. And therefore, we become Christians. We are saints. Saints. You know the word saints? holy ones of God. Workmanship. And when it is related to God and to us, is that he changes us around. Friend, where you are seated there, if you are a Christian, you have been changed completely. And you will agree with me that what you are today, compared with what you were before you became a Christian, even those of you who were outwardly good, and everybody would praise you, when you are converted, you look at yourself inside you, you actually see that you are not a person created just chikwala kwala. You are a person who has been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul would say we are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, means as what? Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. That is the quotation from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. And that's why we can agree also with the Apostle Paul. You can read this with me. When he says in 2 Corinthians, if you can turn to it, verse 5 and 16 chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. This is what we now become. Verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. For even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. We are a new creation. We are the work of God. We are his workmanship. And that is what the Apostle Paul is beginning to declare immediately as he is looking at our oneness in Christ, or as he's looking at that faith is what we have through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a new creation because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of God himself beginning to do this work. So God is indeed the potter. We are the clay. You remember Jeremiah chapter 18 about the potter and God us being the clay. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, when he was told, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the wheel he was making of clay was poured in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel, and as it seemed good to the potter to do. And this is the sense of what the Apostle Paul is saying when he makes this declaration that we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. God fits us nicely. And look, brethren, even our very bodies, when you look at how we are, that I'm standing on my 2 feet and I'm not falling over, and I'm able to see, I'm able to project my voice, and in my voice make intonation, just that is the work of God. But for us Christians, it goes more than just this mere aspect of what we see outwardly. It goes deeper than that. Just think for a moment what that means to you. And because it is God, and we are his workmanship, it means his work in us is very thorough. And this we'll see in a moment. But oh friends, Genesis chapter 1, the last verse, says God paused, he looked at everything that he had made, and behold, it was beautiful. He must therefore look at us. He's recreating us. He must look at his handwork, at his piece of work, and he looks, and behold, it is beautiful. But friends, we are created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing work, doing good works, doing good works. And therefore, all this handiwork of God, for we are created and recreated, and that is his workmanship. All the while we are created in Christ Jesus. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And therefore, friends, when God does this work, therefore, like we read from chapter 5, verse 17, it's a new creation. I just want to re-underline that. We are a new creation. We receive from God his mercies, but more than that, we have God molding us into a new thing. He makes us a new creature and creates in us new things, new appetites. And this is in Christ Jesus. Last week when I was preaching in the morning, I said in Christ Jesus means three things. But the most important ones are these, that we are the possession of Jesus Christ himself. And the next one is that we are secure in his hands, as we saw from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. But we are accepted in the beloved, and to according to the purpose of his will. Maybe let me just read this one from Ephesians, because this is closer. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. In the beloved, he blesses us there. So, he still has the same thought, that in working and in producing in us this new man, and in the fact that it is the work of God, all this is doing in Christ Jesus. And all this is that we are indeed safe and secure, but also that the very purposes of God will be fulfilled. And that will be my third point. But at the moment, just note this aspect, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the objective direction in which God is moving us. So our salvation is not abstract. He is not saving us just for the aspect of saving us, but he's saving us that we may be like our Lord Jesus Christ. So the beauty of his work in us is that at the end of the day, we will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a song we sing, and I love you with the love of the Lord, and I can see in you the love of the Lord. And I can see in you that beauty. That's what basically that song says. I can see in you the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do our fellow Christians a lot of disservice when they fail to see something beautiful in us. Every Christian, like we have seen, is a letter written. Every Christian is a work of God. And every Christian is being worked in the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time we look at one another, we must be able to see Christ in the other. When you look at the person sitting next to you, it must be Christ that you must. There must be something Christ-like. But we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And these good works is not just the actual physical aspect of what is produced by our own hands, but actually it is the result of that work that God does in us. What we said earlier on, that when God must look at us, he must say it is beautiful. That we will be able to sing and say together, I can see in you the glory of the Lord. As you sit, as you stand, and as you do good works. And the good works, the complete description of the good works is the will of God. And I want you to notice that this is where the Apostle Paul started from, Ephesians chapter 1. And you notice that this is the whole string of his thoughts which he carries through. Chapter 1. He says, in love, he predestined us for adoption of the sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. The praise of his glorious grace is the praise of all the things that we see in you. It is the very fact of who you are as an individual. So, we don't have to go very far to ask ourselves, these good works that are being mentioned here, what are they? But you notice also, when you look at verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. In other words, the works that follow you are not what qualifies you to be God's workmanship, but rather the entrance of salvation and the work of God in you. And the work of God in you, we will not fail, dear friends. We will not fail. Because God himself does things that are much greater, and also he does things that would amaze everybody. But more than that, even creation itself shows the greatness of God. Friends, how about the greatness of the power of God in your life? How about that? How about you seeing yourself as the work of God? God's peace, God's artwork. And when he has done so, does he display it? And you see yourself as a display of God's grace. Oh, friends, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. In the third place, all this, dear friends, all this that we have seen has been prearranged by God himself. Look at our text. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our very lives, I must say, are lives that God planned in eternity. He says, prepared beforehand. And that is in reference to time. And the time he's referring to is the time before you were born. Before you were born, God determined that in your good works of service to him, of your worship to him, today you would be seated here and listening to this sermon. God prepared all this beforehand. And you remember Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5? I'm sure we all know it. It says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you as a prophet unto the nations, Jeremiah was told. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 17, when he would pray for, in that great priestly prayer, pastoral prayer, he would pray that we would be kept by God. But all the while, the Lord was pointing to what he came to do. He came to save that which was lost. But having done so, the context of our text, he raises us up with him and makes us seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ. So, friends, we have been raised for this very moment. We've been raised for a purpose to do these good works. Now, when you perceive this, therefore, and you realize that God has foreordained the very tenor of our lives, what is your response there? The fitting response would be to know what I ought to be, to know what I ought to be and to do here today. You must be anxious about that if you are a Christian. You must be anxious to know whether what you are saying, what you are doing at any particular moment is indeed in accord with what God has prepared beforehand. And therefore, it is important that we always ask this question. It is very important. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 37, verse 23, would say that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in his ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in him. Do you know why? Because God is the one who orders these steps, and the good man fits his steps in what God himself has ordered. A good man lives his life in accordance with God's will. He does so. Now, friends, really consider this. The context of our text shows that God has done so much even while we were yet sinners. that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, normally when somebody does something great for you, when somebody does something good for you, when you have opportunity, you want to return the favor somehow or other. But when you can't return the favor, but you have opportunity to be faithful, to be committed to the person who has indeed saved your life, you will want to do so. And you want to use the best of your abilities. Everything that is within you, everything that you have. You see, for us Christians, we do this and we must do this for our God. Because previously, we walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. We were sons of disobedience. You can multiply all these things, as the Apostle Paul shows us. Following the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our bodies, and so on. We were all these things. Until you get to verse 4, it says, but God. God changes all that. And now, he brings us. Having seen that he has done so much for us, having seen that we once walked in trespasses and sins, walked following the course of this world, don't you want to change course immediately when we see this and we do not follow the course of this world any longer? Don't we want to follow the course that has been prepared beforehand for us? And see, the Apostle Paul says that we should walk in them. And don't you see how easy God does this for us? He makes it very easy for us. All right? He works in us. And working in us, it is in the direction, two things. It is what he has prepared beforehand. Before you were born. You know when this world was created? Don't talk millions. But just think. From the time the world was created. But the fact that before that, before the world was created, God had you in mind. And he prepared everything about you. Your Christian life in particular, he prepared. But you see, God is so loving that he doesn't only prepare your life and the things that you must be and the direction of the life that you must take. He doesn't just prepare it. Friends, he works in you. And he makes you his piece of work. Makes Christian living easy. Makes it possible for you, therefore, to walk in these things that God himself has prepared for you. Do you see how greatly privileged we are? That indeed the Divine One would cause us to create in us a new creation that is indeed prepared for this path that we have to walk in. Oh, friends, it's everything. It's about your gifts. It's about your talents. It's about everything about you. The whole nature of your life and the whole aspect of your life, God has had in a hand that no part of you, therefore, remains wanting. To the extent that even on the last day when you enter heaven, or I dare say, even to the extent of our life in heaven, it will be as prepared by God himself. And now, you do see that it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love that he has, rich in mercy and because of the great love, put those two attributes together, as God uses his attributes to work in you the best course of your life is what God has prepared for you. The best course of any human endeavor is what God has done and what God continues to do. Now, you notice that the Apostle Paul, the way he is written here, he takes it for granted. And yes, we can take for granted that God is working in us. We can take it for granted that it is in Jesus Christ. We can take it for granted that it is the good works. We can take it for granted that it's the good works that have been prepared by God beforehand. Let us add the last part. We can take it for granted that we should walk in them. What a joy that we can be able to fully describe our walk in this world in this manner. It is four things. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus, and that for good works, created beforehand by God himself, and we are walking in them. That is your challenge today that I wanted to bring before you. That if you are in Christ, you are saved. And being saved, you must live like a Christian. You must live like a Christian all the while. You see, friends, when it says this by grace, it is not that God needed us, but that we needed him. May our lives portray a picture that God is working, and that God is working in the world, but more particularly, that God is working in us. That God is working in you. May you present that before the whole world. And may it be seen that indeed you are a poem of God himself. That God is producing this beautiful person who does his will. And I pray that that is what you will be. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, cause that indeed we may believe your word, believe in you, and truly accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord, surrendering ourselves to him, surrendering ourselves to you, O God, and letting you, O God, do your work in us, and causing us, O God, that we may do good works, and realizing and fulfilling, therefore, your purposes here on earth. Do this, O God, in us as we surrender ourselves to you, as we give ourselves to you, and as we commit ourselves to you and dedicate our whole nature, our whole life in its entirety to you, our God, that indeed you may do that which you want us to do, that which you want to do in us. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.